I always get a blessing by watching that, because you think about how we can make a difference. And in every one of these boxes, they will put the gospel according to the language of the country they're sending those boxes to. So there's a lot more that goes into that than maybe you realize, and every box is put over here as well as before they ship it out. So what a great ministry that is. Well, today we're dealing with the kingdom authority of Scripture. We're going to be talking about the authority of the Word of God. Turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 23. I was so proud of you this week in revival. You were faithful to it. And Paul never had to ask anybody to stand. You just stood up. So you know what? I'm proud that you did that. So let's stand in reading of the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The authority of the Word of God, the kingdom authority of Scripture. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Father, I pray earnestly today, earnestly, that I would handle the preaching of your word very carefully. Lord, I pray that as I've studied to rightly divide the word of truth, that you would anoint me to your word today, that you would fill me with your spirit, that, Lord, I would not speak anything of myself, but only the word of God. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. The promise is it will never return void. And I pray today, God, that it will go forth and it will accomplish that which you would have it to accomplish. Lord, may every Christian today be encouraged. May they be equipped, Lord, in handling the word of God. And if there's one who does not know you and pardon the forgiveness of sin, I pray the day would be the day that they would trust you as Lord and Savior. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. The kingdom authority of Scripture. We cannot live victoriously in spiritual warfare without an authoritative word from the supreme commander, God Himself. Kingdom authority and the authority of the Word of God are inextricably interwoven. It stands to reason that we cannot live in power and an unconquering confidence without a sure word from God. We need to hear a word from God today. Amen? We're living in a day where it seems like everything is just falling apart. Look at our nation. Look at what's happening with our even the American sport, football. I mean, God help us as Americans that we cannot stand for the national anthem, that we cannot stand for this blessed flag that men, women shed their blood and died for our freedom so that we could enjoy what we enjoy as a nation. I think it's time that God's people stand up. Amen. Enough is enough. And Satan is doing everything he can to destroy us. He knows that his days are numbered. How do you stand in authority? We must have a final source of authority. Someone has to speak the last word to settle the points of differences and establish what must be done. Without a settled word from the king, continual confusion results. The Bible makes it clear that all confusion and divisions are from the enemy, the devil. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I had the first word, and I'll have the last word. He speaks the last word to settle points of differences and establish what must be done. We can never speak with authority, preach with authority, witness with authority, live with authority, serve with authority until we get under the authority of the Word of God. So today I want to talk about how the Word of God is the authority. And I believe you and I need to wake up. Because if we don't understand how this word is, people do not understand their Bibles today because they don't read their Bibles today. Did you know that Bible study and Bible reading is at an all-time low? You know why our nation is falling apart? Because we're leaving the God of this book, and we're leaving this book. It's time, church, that you and I make a statement. It's time that we stand. The Bible makes it very, very clear that we're to render to God that which is God's and to Caesar that which is Caesar's. The Bible makes it very clear to us that we're to respect those who have authority over us. God also makes it very clear to us we're to respect the nation that we live in. For all government really is because of God. God has control of all government. So I'm going to ask you to stand again. And let's pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And then we're going to pledge to the flag of the Christian flag. And then we're going to have a pledge to the Bible. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice. I've got the Christian flag in my mind, and I'm sorry. I'm quoting both of them at once. All right, let's get the Christian flag. I got that one on my mind. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And here's what I want you to do today. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and hide its words in my heart that I may not sin against God. Thank you for all standing and no one kneeling. May God bless America. Amen. I love that flag, don't you? I love the national anthem. I'm not watching NFL any. I'm through with it. Powerful word I've got for you today, because God's word's a powerful word. Look at verse 23. Here's the powerful word. What makes the word of God so authoritative? What is the authority of Scripture? Well, number one, it's a powerful word. It's incorruptible. Are you with me? It's incorruptible. You see it in verse 23. It's powerful because it is the power of God unto salvation. Being born again, you see that in verse 23? Being born again, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word of God was planted in your heart, the seed of God's word, and it brought forth life, the life that is through the word of God. You heard the word of God. The kingdom authority of Scripture is powerful because it brings salvation. It teaches us who God is. The purpose of Scripture is that we might know God and know who He is and what He's all about. But notice the word seed there is also in verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. It is the incorruptible word of God. That means it has no mixture or taint of sin, nor any degree of corruption in it. It is the pure, holy, righteous word of God. The reason the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. What he means is the Greek word there is zoon, and it we get our word zoo from it, and that word means alive. The word of God brings life. It is the living word of God. I'll tell you, when the word of God is sown in your heart, life is going to come. That's what the word means. It has life, and the word powerful here in the Greek means irrigates. It pulsates. It throbs with power. Hey, this book is not a weak book. Are y'all listening to me? I'll tell you, friend, you get into this book, it'll change your life. It really will. And the reason the devil don't want you to get in this book, students, is because he knows it'll get you on the right path. I'll tell you, God's word is powerful. It sows the seeds of righteousness. One man was translating the scripture, and the more he got into the scriptures, he said, I became so impressed with the power of the Word of God, I felt like I was trying to rewire a house without cutting off the electricity. That's God's Word. By the way, I don't know a whole lot about electricity, but I'm not going to sit in the dark until I do. I do know how to cut the switch on. And folks, when you open up your Bible, you cut the switch on. I'll tell you, the light of the world is revealed right here. Jesus Christ is the light, and light overcomes darkness. Are y'all following me? Amen. Truth overcomes lies. When you sow the seed of God's truth, you say, well, preacher, I hate a lie. I do too. But folks, the truth overcomes a lie. The Bible says the devil is a liar. He's the father of all lies, but God is the God of truth. What defines truth, or who defines truth? God does. God defines truth. He is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And then the word scripture is interesting. You know, it's interesting how often that word is used in the Bible. It says in verse 23, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, scripture means holy. It means sacred writings. And when the devil tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, do you know that all Jesus said to the devil was this? It is written. That's all he said. And he quoted a verse. It is written. The devil came to Jesus and said, why don't you turn, you've been fasting for 40 days. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not eat, man shall not live by bread alone. Thank you. I didn't have that in my mind as I should have. But he quoted scripture. I'll tell you, all you got to do is quote scripture. The last temptation, Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Are you following me? I'll tell you, all you got to do, you want your prayers answered? Quote scripture. You want to have victory in your life? Quote scripture. It's important that you hide his word in your heart that you may not sin against God. But there's something else going on here. He simply, when Jesus said it is written, he simply unleashed the power of the word of God. The Greek word for the word of God is the word logos. It means the governing power behind all things. God not only called the book, listen to me carefully, the Word of God, but God also called His Son the Word of God. Did you know that God gave the same title to Jesus that He gave to the Bible? What does God call the Bible in verse 23? The Word of God. What does God call His Son in Revelation 19:13? And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Jesus and the Bible are not identical, but they are inseparable. And you cannot separate the Word of the Lord from the Lord of the Word. And the Lord of the Word is called the Word of God, just as the Word itself is called the Word of God. I love this verse in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then what John said in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God is powerful because God is powerful. There are many, many books written about many, many subjects. They come and go every day, but the Bible says the Word of God will endure forever. I'll tell you, this writing is more than just man's writing. Some people say, well, man wrote this. No, friend, I believe it was the scriptures were God breathed. Believe that God gave His word to these men. I'll tell you, I still believe that the words written in red are the words of Jesus. You believe that? I believe this Bible to be the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. I believe it from Genesis to maps. I believe everything in it. I believe if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would have believed that. But the Bible says the whale swallowed Jonah. By the way, some people say, well, wait a minute, preacher, it says a big fish. Yeah, in one place it says a big fish, another place it says a whale. By the way, a whale is a big fish. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We get so caught up in these little things, and we just need to get caught up in the one taking us up. Amen? The Word of God convicts us. It converts us. It cleanses us. It controls us. It confirms us. That's the power of the Word of God. And then it's a profitable word. Verse 24, it's indestructible. Notice what he says in verse 24. Look again, talking about us. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. People today are more about how they receive God's word than God's word itself. Folks, we need, it's not the man, it's the message that we need to be focused on. It's a profitable message. It's a profitable word. Peter is quoting Isaiah 46-8 when he's talking about that all flesh is grass. But the point he's making is about the Word of God. Number one, he's saying it is the eternal Word of God. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The best man has, all the glory of man, he's saying, will fade away. Verse 23, but the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Bible is the eternal word of God. And if you want the eternal word of God to be profitable in your life, then you've got to learn a secret. I'm fixing to give you something that works. Students, I want you to pay attention. Because the Bible is not just a textbook to be read. Church is not just a book to be studied. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But it is not a book to be understood. It is a book to be obeyed. You will never understand God. Quit trying. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But folks, if you will obey God's word, then you will understand God's word. It's just something about this that is really unique that God says in his word, I had rather have obedience. Why should you obey God? Because he is God and you're not. Are y'all with me? Are you listening? I hope you brought your Bible today. Students, bring your Bibles tonight. Thursday, carry your Bible to school. You know why? His word will outlast you. God's word, I don't care what happens in this old world. If the NF players don't want to get on their knees or stand to the national anthem, they want to take a knee, whatever they want, they'll come and go. Flesh will come and go. But the word of God will last forever. That's what the Bible says. It is the eternal word of God. Notice what he said there in verse 22 of chapter 1. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So God wants us, and there's a lot of scripture right there in chapter 1 that talks about obedience. I'm going to move on. Not only is it the eternal word of God, it's the enduring word of God. Notice what he says in verse 25. The word of God endureth forever. Human life will come and go as much as grass and flowers wither and fall away. Preachers and pastors will come and go. Theologians will come and go. All the isms will come and go. The Arminianism and the Calvinism and the humanism and the apocalypticism and all the mysticism. And I tell you, we got an ism for everything today. But I'm here to tell you, friend, why can't we stand alone on the authoritative word of the living God and get off the isms and the labels and the name calling and just love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, which is the context that Peter is speaking of in chapter 1. It is the enduring word of God. God's word is not a dividing word. It's a unity word. I believe if here's the way I understand the way the word of God teaches, that we are the body of Christ. There's only one head of the body, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm doing what the head says, and you're doing what the head says, we're all going to be walking together. There's only one head. And by the way, I want to make this clear about this preacher. I never want you ever following me as a man. I'm just a man. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, he'll never lead you wrong. And I'll tell you, when the storms of life come, the word of God would endure the storms of life. The Bible is all about knowing God in His fullness, teaching you to follow Him in an ever deeper, intimate love relationship, not to follow a man. Satan has the church where he wants it. Coming to the church for the beat rather than the Bible, the man rather than the message. It is more about feeding our flesh than feeding our soul. The Bible has been taken out of school, and bullying has taken over our schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments out, and we've moved the cops in. It's sad when Christians have no appetite for God's word, but must be fed with religious entertainment instead. Sometimes children have no appetite because they have been eating the wrong things. Peter is warning us in chapter 2 of verse 1 to lay aside, to put aside the wrong attitudes of the heart that will hinder your appetite for spiritual growth. Malice, which is wickedness. Guile, which is craftiness, using words to get what you want. And of course, if you're guilty of malice and guile, you will try to hide it, and that produces hypocrisies. Envy is usually the cause of it all. Then envy results in evil speaking to tear another person down, and division in a church usually shows who the hypocrites really are. When Christians are growing in the Word, they are peacemakers and not troublemakers, and they promote the unity of the church. It is the spiritual mature that call for unity and vision. The Bible is much more than what the people today want. We want entertainment, but the Bible is the eternal, enduring, incorruptible, indestructible Word of the living God. And I'll tell you, folks, when we come to God's house for any other reason than to follow what God says in this Word, we've come for the wrong reason. Folks, this church is not to be about entertainment. Paul dealt with that in a beautiful way the other night. And I think it's true. He asked the question, whatever happened to worship? It's become entertainment for a lot of people. You know why? Can I tell it like it is? Because our flesh starves for that. We want to be entertained. But if we would ever simply recognize that there's a spirit living inside of you, that God, the Holy Spirit, He will only do what God says. Some people say, well, it's a matter of interpretation. I want to correct that today. It's a matter of your interpretation. There's only one way to interpret Scripture, and that's the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Amen. The Bible says the Spirit of God will teach you all truth. You can follow all the men you want to, but the right one to follow is the Holy Spirit, and He will always teach you the truth. He will never lead you wrong, church. Hello? That's why I'm up here preaching today. Don't follow me. I'm just a man. Follow the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you all truth. And friend, I'm going to tell you today, we are so full of ourselves and our flesh that when we hear the Word of God, we don't know how to receive it, because we don't understand the spirit world. I'm going to prove that. We keep coming up with all these new translations, and we come up with all these different commentaries. You can Google anything about the Bible today. But folks, let me tell you something. If you really want to hear from God, let me tell you how I do it. Y'all want me to show you? I've been here 4 years. Not till this week have I unpacked my books. I didn't have no shelves. Where I used to live, I had shelves. When I moved here, I had no shelves. So we finally got us some bookshelves. I've got about 1,500 commentaries and books. Got a lot of books. I thought it might cave in the bonus room. But finally got them all up there. But let me tell you what I've been doing for 4 years. God's taught me something. Since I've been your pastor, I've been doing this. I didn't go and get the books out of the box. Here's what I did. God, I'm studying your word here today, and I don't get it. Don't understand it, God. This is what I do in my study. God, you're the only one that can teach me this truth. I don't know the truth, Lord. I know you're the truth, and I'm going to ask you right now, would you reveal your truth to my heart and my mind? I'm but a man, God, but I pray for your anointing. Would you anoint me as I study today? Would you teach me your truth in Jesus' name? Amen. I'm amazed how that works. I shouldn't be. I mean, I've been to college and I've been to seminary, and I found all what the isms are and all these men that teach. But friend, I've learned something, and you may not know this, but it's the truth. If you go back to the last book here, the book of Revelation, and it's not Revelations, it's the book of Revelation, the first part of that book explains the whole Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this book is all about. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to understand the book, you got to know the author. Hello? Amen. You got to go to the author, and the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth. You can go and learn from what someone else wrote about. And you need to hear my heart today. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm not standing on any other man. I'm not standing on no ism or nothing else. Friend, I'm not a John Calvin follower. I'm a Jesus Christ follower. And that's where I stand. You say, well, preacher, I don't like you preaching like that. But that's who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm a follower of His Word. Where are you standing today? If you follow man, you will only get what man can give you. If you follow God, you'll get what God can give you. And He can do things. Friend, I'm just trying to encourage you today. I don't want to discourage you. I want you to understand something. God's Word is the enduring Word. It lasts. When everything else fades away, His Word will last. And then I got to move quickly here. It's an equipping Word. The grass withereth and the flower therefore falleth away. What the flesh, the fall of man, the frailty of man cannot do, God's Word can do. I love this verse, Ephesians 4:12. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature mankind, manhood, to measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. Listen to this. Don't act immature. Don't be children tossed to and fro by the waves and cared about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, but by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Let me tell you something. Satan is doing everything he can to distract us, to keep us from knowing the God of this book and understanding. Let me tell you something, friend. There's no one that can help you understand this Bible like the author, like the one who wrote it. And he wrote it and he understands it. You say, well, I don't understand the book of Revelation. Well, ask the one who wrote it. You say, well, John on the island of Patmos, I need to talk to John. No, you need to talk to Jesus. In fact, Jesus spoke to John. Did you know that? The first three chapters, and he was writing to the churches. And then his word is encouraging. I want to give you a word of encouragement today. I've read the back of the book, and we've won. It's not true is it not true that many people will spend more time reading the newspaper and watching television than reading God's Word? Let me tell you something about newspaper. What is news today is fish wrapping tomorrow. And by the way, it's all bad news. And if you want to get discouraged, just watch the news. Hello? I'm discouraged because I watched the news this week. I'm discouraged that I like football. That's one of the things me and Sherry really love doing together. We'll cuddle up on the couch and watch our Sunday afternoon football. But I'm going to tell you something. It's time we Christians take a stand and recognize the fact that, folks, we need to stand for God and country. We do. We really do. Because if we're not united, our nation's going to fall apart. United we stand, divided we fall. I want to encourage you today. How many of you believe with all of your heart the Bible is the word of the King? I think every hand voted today. How many of you believe everything you read in the newspaper and you see on television? I didn't see a hand. So you're reading something you don't believe and neglecting something you say you do believe. Don't neglect reading this book. By the way, young people, I'm not picking on young people. I'm looking forward to talking to you this afternoon. But I want to tell you something, young people. There's nothing more relevant than this. Revelation is about the future. Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus says these things will come to pass. In fact, he says, do not be discouraged. God's word encourages us. Don't you think it's time to get our priorities in order? Take out time. And young person, listen to this. If you'll take out time just to read one verse a day and then think about it all day, your day will go a lot better. I know. It really will. I'll tell you, and you know what? You'll read one verse and you'll want the second verse and you'll want the third verse. I'll tell you, if you're truly saved today, you're going to have a spiritual appetite for the Word of God. And then last of all, and I'm done, and I didn't bring my watch today, but Randy gave me his. I got plenty of time. Perfect Word. It's the perfect Word. It's indispensable. It's indispensable. It's the powerful Word. It's incorruptible. It's a profitable Word. It's indestructible. It's the perfect Word. It's indispensable. That means absolutely necessary, essential. It is inerrant. That's why it's the perfect Word. It is the infallible, inerrant Word of the living God. And this is the Word, he says, which is, look in verse 25, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached to you. I believe the Bible, friend, and it provides the message. Now, follow me quickly as I close. This is the Word, he says, which by the gospel, the Bible, I'm fixing to give it all to you in one message here. I'm fixing to give you the heart of the Bible right now. I'm going to provide you the message. What is the church's message? The Bible, the King's Word, provides the church's message. Would you like to know what your message is? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. The word gospel means good news. We have no other message but the gospel. Paul said, I know nothing but Jesus, except Jesus and Him crucified. Friend, everything that we preach springs from the gospel and relates back to the gospel. That is the message of the church. You know what I want to be known as? If you want to identify Ronnie Stewart, I hate labels and I hate isms and I hate all that junk. But if you want to put a name on me, put this name on me. He's a preacher of the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, I'll tell you what the gospel is. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. The gospel is that Jesus died on an old rugged cross for your sin, and that He was buried and He was raised again. That's the gospel. Yes, it is. And guess what, church? That's what we're to preach. That's what we're to teach. And look up here. That's what we're to live. Don't get caught up in any of this man-made stuff. Get caught up in the gospel, because the gospel message is what's going to take you up. It provides the message. It's the perfect Word of God. It came from God. He gave us the message. That's the gospel. Don't get the idea either the gospel is only in the New Testament. The gospel is found in the first page of Genesis, and it goes all the way through the Bible. The Bible teaches us that Jesus saves. The Bible has one villain, the devil. It has one hero, Jesus, and it has one message, Jesus saves. That's the message. And then second of all, it prescribes the method. And I'm not going to say this because I'm a preacher. I'm going to say it because it's in the Word of God. Notice what he says in verse 25. Is preached. Notice what he says. Is preached. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached. Now the method and the message are tied together. The method is preaching. I don't say that because I'm a preacher. I'm telling you that because that's God's plan. That's God's method. That the gospel be preached. Now, in many churches, preaching has gone out of style, and we've brought in the pageants and the programs and the plays and the suppers and the concerts and many other things. In fact, folks, this is something I need to teach you if you are not aware of this. We keep coming up with all our programs and our plans and our presentations as if we're going to twist the arm of God to bless what we've done. I want to teach you something very powerful today, and that is this. God only blesses, He only anoints, He only ordains His method. Yeah. Somehow we've got through our thick skulls here in the United States of America that we can do church better than God can. Yeah, we've come up with a different message today. We're getting away from the Bible. We've come up with a different method today. Our method is everything from entertainment to rapping to hard rock. As Paul said, the smoke machines. We think somehow we've got a better idea than God has. There's only one message. What is it, church? The gospel. Say it with me. The gospel. There's only one method, really, that God has ordained and anointed. He says in His Word, I'm going to give you all of it in just a minute. It's called preaching. Let me give it to you. The Bible makes it very, very clear. The method is preaching of the word. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God. Huh. Don't that say where we are? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, the church's method is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is preaching? Well, the Bible says it's hurling truth. It's simply stating truth. It's proclaiming truth, not an opinion, but the Word of God. And the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God results in lives changed. And it produces the last thing. It produces the members. And I'm not talking about here the members of a church. I'm talking about members of the body of Christ. You can be a member of a church and be lost, but you can't be a member of the body of Christ and be lost. You see, Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says he puts every member in the body as it pleases him. Notice what he says last of all, unto you. You see, the Bible is seed that is alive. And you put a seed in the ground and it brings forth life. And that corresponds to the life put in the ground. I have preached long enough to know that there's life in the Bible. God's word is like a sword that cuts. It's like a fire that burns. It's like a water that quenches thirst. It's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It's like a seed that brings forth life. And the word of God produces the church as God intended it to be. How do you produce a church? By the Word of God, church. Are y'all following me today? Oh, we've come up with man's ways. I've got several books I found this week. How to grow a church. There's only one way to grow a church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell. He didn't say, Ronnie, some churches think, well, you're only successful if you have big numbers. You can have big numbers and be all wrong. Children of Israel, Promised Land, elected a Baptist committee, spies, came back with a negative report. They believed the negative report, didn't go into the Promised Land. I'm telling you something, friend, we got a land right here to be discovered, flowing with milk and honey. We've got something right here that's so precious and so dear, and Satan had rather you do anything. He'd rather you do anything than get in and study this book. I'm proud that we've got an Awana's Club here in our church. I'm proud that we have a Sunday school. I'm proud of the fact that we've got Bible studies going on. People who are studying the Word of God, because what it does, studying this book will produce maturity. Hello? And where there's maturity, there is unity and people working together for the cause of Christ. The Bible says we are born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He was already religious. You can be religious and be lost. Amen? Preach the gospel. Tell the whole truth. And there's something supernatural that will take place. People's lives are radically, dramatically, and eternally changed by the Word of God. It's the seed that will bring forth life. It is the seed that will bring forth love. It is the seed that will bring forth liberty because we preach the gospel. That's my sermon. We're going to sing now. I don't know if you know this song. Boy, I did good today. Wow. I ain't never finished before 12 o'clock. But maybe God's going to give us some time at the altar today. After hearing all we've heard this week, we all probably need to be at the altar today because we heard the gospel preached. I got a question. Again, did you tell that man what to preach? No, wouldn't have a preacher. I asked Paul, though, we carried him to supper Wednesday night. I said, brother, has anybody said anything to you? He said, not a word, but I've heard from God. That's the kind of preacher I want. I want the kind of preacher that hears from God. Amen? And I believe Paul heard from God this week. The question is, what are we going to do? It's not that we don't have enough of God's Word. It's something about this book I want to give you before you leave here today. You don't just read this book. It reads you. It knows your heart right now. God knows your heart. Amen? If you were to die today, where would you go? I'll tell you this. If you've received anything other than the gospel message, you're going to hell. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, rose again, and he lived to tell us about it. Amen? I've read it. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And he can make you alive. He really can. Oh, I appreciate you praying this week for my brother. His name is Charles. Some got me tickled, said, well, you were praying for Charles. We thought Charles was having surgery. They were talking about Charles Griffin. No, my brother Charles, Charles Stewart. What a miracle. Man, that doctor came in, he said, I don't understand it. We did more than we thought we was going to have to do, but it was much easier. He had 5 bypasses. That night, he called my mother, and she's word sick, bless her heart. She's soon to be 91, and he called her. Doing good, Mom. How you doing? I'm like, you called her? Sitting up eating Jell-O. Ate a big breakfast the next morning. Don't tell me God don't hear and answer prayer. Don't you ever tell me that. And I'm going to tell you this before you leave here today. Let's be about the gospel. Amen, church. That's all I ask is your pastor. Let's just focus on the gospel. Is that too much to ask? If we would give our time and energy to the gospel and not give any time and energy to this old world, the flesh, this flesh is fading away quickly, but the word of God will endure forever. We're going to sing. I don't know if you know this song. I selected it. I didn't ask anybody but him. We're going to sing a scripture. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Young person, would you sing that today? Would y'all sing that with me? Because I'm going to tell you something. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. You want to see God's blessings, church. Listen to me. You want to see God's favor, then do church God's way. Amen. Amen. Preach the gospel. It is preaching. I know preaching's not in style anymore. No one likes preaching no more. But it's God's way. That's right. And that's the way God says, I'm going to bless the church. And if we'll do it God's way, he will show his favor and his blessing on the people that do it God's way. Is this boring to y'all? I hope not, because this is the authoritative word of God. And I've made up my mind. This is what this old boy wants to do. I just need to preach the Bible. I don't need to give my opinion. I don't need to get up here and tell you what's bothering me. I don't need to tell you anything about me. It needs to be about the message, not about the man. And look up here, and we're going to sing. Folks, with all my heart, I say this. It's like a lion. All you got to do is let it out of the cage, and it'll take care of every need everybody has. Amen? Amen? I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a shrink. I'm not out there in the left field. I just want to be known as a preacher of the gospel. That's who you got, and that's who I'm going to continue to be. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand, and we're going to sing, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Sing it with all your heart today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's a great day to get saved. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Would you come as we sing?